We started Ephesians last Sunday morning. So we're in Ephesians chapter 1. So if you want to open your Bibles there, you can. And as we normally do, we'll be sharing some passages of Scripture with you from other places in the Bible. So you may want to write those down. In Ephesians chapter 1, I want to go back. Let's see. Well, let's just begin with verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. How many of you have been blessed and are blessed by the Lord? Amen? And if you're a Christian, that's the greatest blessing you can ever receive, having been born again in the Spirit of God. Amen? Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. I'm going to ask you a loaded question. Are you holy and without blame before Him in love? Everybody that is, raise your hand. Every Christian should have your hand up. Because it's in Him, it's not in you. It's in Him. Amen? I want you to understand that. It's in Him. You see, it says before Him in love, having predestinated us to be adopted as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself according to good pleasure of His will. I want to take just a minute. We talked about this last Sunday, but I feel like I didn't spend a lot of time on it. I just mentioned it, so I want to mention it again. Because there's a lot of people that have said in some various religious denominations and various religions over the world that God has predestinated every one of us. You know, the Bible says God knew us before we were born, even conceived in our mother's womb. Amen. And this passage of Scripture here in another place we're going to read here in a minute talks about predestination. So I just want to explain that because that's been very confusing. In my years in the ministry, it's been very confusing to a lot of people because I've run into some that say, well, I don't have any choice in the matter. God has predestinated me to be either lost or saved. And so what choice do we even have? And so I want you to know that predestination does not have anything to do with your free will. It doesn't change your choice as an individual. Predestination means, and we'll read this here a little bit later on, God has predestinated all of those that are going to be saved. That is that the only way they can be saved is in His Son through Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what predestination is. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. His predestination has to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. That was God's plan because the Bible says Jesus Christ was crucified from the foundation of the world before the world was even founded. God had already planned that His Son was going to come, be born of a virgin in Israel, and die on the cross for your sins and my sins and for the sins of the whole world. That's what predestination is. So if you're going to be saved, the only way to be saved, there's no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved other than through the Lord Jesus Christ. And God predestinated it that way. He didn't predestinate you or me Now, God in His foreknowledge knows everything. You with me? So He knows who is going to be saved and who's going to be lost, but I want you to know ahead of time that God's knowing is based on His predestination, and on not on His predestination, but on His knowledge that Him being God, but it in no way interferes with anybody's free will. So nobody can blame God and say whenever they stand before the great white throne judgment of God, they can blame God and say, well, you predestinated me to be lost and to not be saved, so it's not my fault. You have a choice. And God's foreknowledge does not, and predestination does not have anything to do with your choice and your free will. Amen? I'm going to make sure everybody understands that, because that's been confusing to some people over the years. All right. Just as He, verse 4, just as He chose us in Him, everyone that's saved has been saved because that was God's choice. His means of salvation was that everyone that was going to be saved would be saved through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that He chose us in Him, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. So whenever you made and I made and anyone makes their decision and comes to the Lord, to the Father, and says, Lord God, save me, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. All right? Then that's what's happened. That's what happens to you. We're as He told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Amen. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things passed away, all things become new. Amen. And so, amen. So if you're chosen in Him, you're holy and without blame before Him, in love, because He have, verse 5, predestinated that was the way we were to be saved, and that was the way that we to be holy and without blame before Him is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says in verse 5, having predestinated us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ in Himself. And look at this. According to the good pleasure of His will, it is God's good pleasure that everyone should be saved. Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. It's God's pleasure to save you. Amen? And if you're not saved, it's not God's fault. I want you to understand that. According to His good pleasure, to the praise of the glory of His grace, and it's by His grace, amen, by which He has made us, He, God, has made us, those of us who put our trust in Him, accepted in the Beloved, in Christ, amen. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, His love, which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, and it was His good pleasure to do so, and it's by His grace that in the dispensation of the fullness of times that He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, in Him. So He placed us in Him. All of us are placed into the body of Christ by new birth, by the fullness of the Holy Spirit, being born again by the Spirit of God. Verse 11, Ephesians, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. In Him, everybody say in Him, in Christ, You also trusted. We put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross. Amen? Now, it sounds like I'm laboring this, but this is what Ephesians is saying. It's laboring it. It wants people to understand who they are in Christ and why they're there and how they're saved and how they're saved forever. In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. So when you heard the gospel, the good news, that God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, and you called upon the name of the Lord, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you either came to the altar or wherever you were, you invited, you said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, or however you prayed, God save me, or God come into my life, or whatever you said. If you came to Him and trusted in Him, then you're saved. Amen? And that's the gospel of your salvation. In whom also, having believed, do you believe that? Amen? If you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, Romans 10 says, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Having believed, you were sealed. Now look, everybody say sealed. What does that mean? That means if you, well, let's just use a simple illustration. It's not exactly real. We'll put it this way. I mailed a check the other day. I put it in the envelope and I licked it and sealed it. Now, because that was paper, it could be torn open and gotten into. Amen? But God's seal is way more than that. Because He stamped us with the... When you became His, He stamped you and He said, this one's mine. You're mine. This is mine. This is mine. This person belongs to me. You're mine. Amen? You're mine. Isn't it wonderful to belong to God? And not only that, that seal, listen, that seal cannot be broken. That's God's seal. Are you with me? That's God's seal. And that seal cannot be broken. So when God sealed you for His own, then you were sealed. Amen? Look at somebody and say, I've been sealed. All right. Amen. You were sealed. Now, what were you sealed with? The Holy Spirit. Look at that verse. You see that verse there? He sealed you and me and we and us. I don't even remember what verse I was on. In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So the seal is the Holy Spirit of promise. I want to spend some time on that for just a minute, here in a minute. Now verse 14, look at this. Everybody say guaranteed. Have you ever... If you ever purchase something and they say, well, this is guaranteed for 5 years or 6 years or 4 years or 3 years, and you hold them to, you ever had to hold them to that guarantee and you call them out and say, hey, this dishwasher I bought from you has busted and it's something's wrong with it and it's broken and I need you to come and repair it, and they come and replace it or repair it because it has a guarantee on it. Now you have a guarantee on you. You've been stamped with it. Amen. And the stamp of your guarantee is the Holy Spirit. Because it says, who? The Holy Spirit. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, verse 14, who is the guarantee of our inheritance. So the Holy Spirit has been given to us as a guarantee of our inheritance. So we have a witness. We have the Holy Spirit bears witness with my spirit, the Bible tells us. Holy Spirit bears witness with my spirit, and He does that until the redemption of the purchased possession. You and me, we or the purchased possession, but we've been bought by the blood of the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, on Calvary. It's God's purchase. We've been purchased. We belong to Him, and the Holy Spirit is that He gives to us, that bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. That's our guarantee of redemption until the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. So His redemption is not finished in us yet. There's three aspects. I'm just sharing with you this morning from what the Lord has given me. I didn't have any of this written down. So you are a spirit being. What did Jesus say to the woman? God is a spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. When you worship God, the only way you worship Him is in spirit. Now, you may speak, and you need to. You may sing. You may praise Him. Whatever you do with your mouth. But it's coming. It's supposed to be coming from your spirit, and you're praising Him because you love Him, because He's your Father. He's your Heavenly Father. He's your God, and you've put your trust in Him, and He's giving you the Holy Spirit to help you. And the Holy Spirit is the guarantee. Amen? Now, we'll get into something else here in just a minute. We'll just get into it right now, all right? There's a lot of people that will tell us and have us to believe. Now, I believe in speaking in tongues. I don't believe that that is the only evidence that you've been saved. That's one of the gifts, like preaching and teaching and a pastor and evangelist and other gifts that God, gifts of healing and all of those things. That's just one of the other gifts. And praise God if you do. That's no problem. I'm not having a problem with that. I'm just having a problem with people telling you you're not saved, you hadn't been saved, and you don't have the gift of the Holy Spirit unless you've spoken in tongues, because I know that there's a whole lot of people that I've run into that I know that are saved. Their spirit not only bears witness with their spirit bears witness with God's spirit bears witness with their spirit, but God's witness. Have you ever run into somebody and God said, that person's a Christian? You know in your heart that we're brothers. I remember Corey, let me just share. I think Corey Ten Boom was in Poland. You ever heard of Corey Ten Boom? I think she was in Poland, and she'd never been there before in her life, and she got off the train. I believe it was the train. Might have been a bus, but whatever. She got off of her means of conveyance to get there, and she come out of the station, and she was walking along with her suitcase. And she saw this person, and she knew instantly, there's a Christian. And they became good friends, from what I understand. Just met two strangers, just met. But God said, you're not strangers. You're members of the same family. Amen. You're one of God's children, and so am I. We're brothers and sisters in the Lord. Amen. That's what the Holy Spirit does for you. That's what you're sealed with. Now, I'll go back to where I was. Man is a spirit. He lives in a body. And as a result of the union between the spirit and the body, man became a living soul. He has a character. He has personality. Are you with me? I have to say that because when he says here and refers to the fact that our redemption is not finished or not complete, I've been redeemed. You've been redeemed. But you're not home yet. Are you with me? Our ultimate redemption is that God raises us if we die. Our spirit goes immediately to the place of departed spirits in heaven, we'll say, if we're Christians. But our body's not there yet. That's why he's coming back. And if we're dead in Christ, those who are dead in Christ, the Bible says when Jesus comes back, the dead shall be raised first. And we which are alive at his coming shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and we'll be transformed. And all of a sudden, we'll all bodily be transformed and we'll be in heaven before God. Amen. And with Jesus. And I'll know W.A. and I'll know Brother Jim and I'll know Sissy. I'll know all of you that are Christians when I get to heaven. Now, I don't know. Well, I hope some Christians I know don't look like they do here on earth. Are you okay with that? Well, the Bible says we're all going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. I don't believe we're going to maybe look the same. Amen. Thank God. I had a no pacemaker. That's exactly right. It'll be gone. This thing will be gone. And yeah, amen. And we'll know one another. Now, I might not know Brother Ram as Brother Ram. I mean, he might have a different name, but I'll know him. Amen. And his wife, Trish. You know, we'll know one another. And we'll all be together and we'll love one another. Amen. Won't that be wonderful? So that's why he says our redemption is not complete yet. That's why he says we're going to be redeemed. Our spirit is redeemed, our soul is redeemed, but I'm still in this physical body and it hadn't been redeemed yet. And sometimes I don't do good things. If my wife was alive, well, she probably wouldn't tell you, but if you ask her, she might say, well, he's not redeemed yet. Amen. Are you with me? Some people try to pick on Christians and say, well, I thought you were Christian because they got mad. And they said something they shouldn't have said. I hate you or whatever, you know, or a cuss word or whatever, something. But you've got to understand they're not redeemed yet. The Bible tells us as Christians, as believers, in several places, in Romans and in Galatians, in Ephesians. In fact, I think the next passage, well, chapter 4, I think, says that we're to put off the old man and put on the new man and be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Amen? Says a lot of things like that. So now, that's why James says Christians are the only really double-minded persons in the whole world. James chapter 4, purify your hearts, you double-minded. Amen? James chapter 4. Why? Because we have to let, the Bible says, and I have whole pages, like four pages of scriptures about what the Bible says that as Christians we're supposed to do because we have the mind of Christ. In fact, I teach on that a lot. I have. If you want copies, in fact, I had two or three people the other day. They came to my house. We went and ate, and they came to my house. I hadn't seen them in a long time, and we visited, and this is what we ended up talking about. And I said, well, I have passages of Scripture that has to do with your mind. You see, the battleground with a Christian, because they're double-minded. You can let the flesh control you, or we can let the Spirit of God control us. And if we get in the flesh, we're just like we used to be. and maybe sometimes worse. In fact, that's if you go read Galatians chapter 5, it tells us, those of us that are Christians, that are double-minded, it says over there, the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these two are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit and put off the flesh, then you're spiritually minded. Amen? And you can understand the things of the Spirit. But if you get in the flesh, you can't boy. How many Christians that have been born again by the Spirit of God have ever gotten into the flesh, said something to their husband, said something to their wife about hate or arguments or fusses, said something to their children? Are you listening to me? Have had pride? Pride is one of the smoking and drinking is not one of the deadly sins. Pride is the most damnable sin that there is, I think. Jealousy, anger, animosity, sexual lust, gossip, hate. Are you with me? Since you become a Christian, have you done one of those things or some of those things? You don't have to raise your hand. I know all about it. I'm where you are. Amen? He took all of that on the cross. Yes, sir. That's the old man that's been crucified with Christ. But we're new creations in Christ Jesus. And what he wants us to understand is that by his power and with his help, as we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we can put off the old man and overcome those things and be what God wants us to be. Amen? In the meantime, we're his children. That doesn't change the fact that we're his children. We wouldn't be, listen, you wouldn't be having this problem if you weren't a Christian. That doesn't mean you're not a Christian. That means when you have a struggle between the flesh and the spirit, that you are a Christian. That's one of the ways the Spirit bears witness with your spirit and our spirit that we're children of God. My goodness gracious alive. We need to get a hold of some of this, folks. Because you can't do much for God unless you know exactly who you are in your relation and you're standing with Him. I've already forgot all my notes. I forgot everything. I just took off. Amen. Where was I? Verse 13, 14. Who is the guarantee? The Holy Spirit is the guarantee. That's God's guarantee. It's also a seal. Because he says so in verse 13, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is the guarantee, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. We're not praising ourselves, we're praising him. Amen? Because he's the only one that can do that for us. Amen? Praise God. Okay. Therefore also, after I heard of your faith, verse 15, in the Lord Jesus, and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And I want you to know, just like the Apostle Paul or anybody else, and I pray you do the same thing for all of us. You have a prayer list, and just about everybody you know on it is on that prayer list. I pray for everybody that I know that's on my prayer list, and it's 4, 5, 6 pages long. And I pray for them just about every morning. After I read my, I have my devotional. When I get up in the morning, the first thing I do is I say, "Good morning, Lord. This is the day you made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in you." Amen. And after I go make a cup of coffee and sit down, I read my Bible study. And if incidentally, if you need, I don't know if I have one up here or not, but we have a little book. It's called Our Daily Bread. It's a daily bread Bible study program. It goes through every day of the week. There's a scripture, and it's, there's some right back there. They're free. Help yourself. Use them. I do. Every morning, I read my daily bread. I read the scripture verse recommended, and I, instead of just reading a few verses, if it recommends 4 or 5 verses, I read the whole chapter. Now, that's just what I do. You don't have, I'm not bragging on myself. I'm just telling you what I do. And then I pray, and I pray for all of you. And I pray for your children, and I pray for your grandchildren, I pray for your husbands, and I pray for your wives. Every day, I lift up every member of this church, and I say, and all the missionaries that we support, and then I say, not only, Lord, those that are not members of our church, but those who attend our church from time to time that aren't members, I pray for you too. Amen. Because God loves you. And if I have the love of God shed abroad in my heart by His Holy Spirit, which is given unto me, like He says, then I have to love you. Some of you probably heard this story before. I'm going to tell it to you again, because I want you to see, I want you to understand, it's by God's Holy Spirit that our prayers get before His throne. It's by God's Holy Spirit that we're kept. He's our seal. It's by God's Holy Spirit that bears witness with our spirit that we know who we are in Christ. It's by God's Holy Spirit that our prayers get to heaven. It's by God's Holy Spirit that He helps us. It's by the Spirit of God working in us. Work out your own salvation, Philippians chapter 3, I think it is, verses 4, 5, and 6 or somewhere. Work out your own salvation, or 12 or 13. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it's God that worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So the way we work out our own salvation while we're in these physical bodies is what He's talking about. Putting off the old man, putting on the new one, that's what He's talking about. We work out our salvation. We have to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. He gives us the power and the wherewithal to be able to do it. We can't do it on our own, but we don't have to. So I want you to hear a story. And I'm not going to go into a whole long detailed story. We didn't have hardly any money. Pat and I, we were broke. We were just living from payday to payday. And I wanted to go into a business where I could be full-time and be, you know, wouldn't have to go to work all the time. I've worked all my life, construction companies. I only became a full-time pastor of this church. It's been here for 30-some-odd years. I only became the full-time pastor, 6 years ago or whatever it was? I got $45 a week. Or maybe. Now I'm on a salary. Thank God. But back then, I've always worked for construction. I worked for Berry Construction, Golden Construction, Dillard's Industrial Maintenance Engineering. I worked for engineering companies, all that. I've always worked and made a living. As a matter of fact, the last year that I worked, I made almost $100,000. And God told me, "I want you to quit your job and go to work, go pastor that church." And I said, "Well, Lord, how am I going to live?" He said, "You can depend on me." I said, "Well," I said, "You want me to tell the men at the church to depend on them?" They said, "Well, you can depend on them or depend on me." So they said, "How in the world are you going to go full time?" I said, "Well, just depend on the Lord." Where was I? I'm going to tell you a story. We didn't have any money. So I went and borrowed $5,000. I went and borrowed from a bank, is what I could get. I went and borrowed from two credit companies, finance companies like Pacific Finance or Associates Investment Company. I can't remember. Anyway, I gave the man the $5,000. I never got my books. I never could get into going to business. And guess what? I had to pay that back. I hated that man. I wanted to go kill him. That's exactly right. I wanted to go kill him. If he'd have lived in Corpus Christi area, anywhere close, I probably would have. He lived in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Eventually, I got up there, but it wasn't to kill him. But for 3 days, I was filled with hate. As a matter of fact, at 2 o'clock in the morning, I was laying in my bed thinking about, when I get there to Tulsa, Oklahoma, I'll not just kill him. I'll kill his dog, his cat. I'll burn his house. 2 o'clock in the morning, I was laying there full of hate and bitterness, and I heard the voice of the Lord. See, I had learned in my conscience, in my spirit, and in my conscience, to hear the Lord's voice. And even in the condition that I was in, I wouldn't have even thought I could have heard his voice, but I did. He said, "Lewis, I want you to get out of your bed." It was just like he spoke these words. It was almost audible. Here I'm laying there full of hate, thinking about, well, I'm going to burn his house and kill him and all that. Lord said, "Lewis, I want you to get out of bed and get on your knees and forgive that man." You know what I said? I said, "Lord, I'm going to get out of bed. I'm going to get on my knees. And I'm going to say the words that you want me to say, but I want you to know right now it's not coming from my heart. I don't mean it." Huh? Because I didn't. I got on my knees, and I said, "Lord, I forgive so-and-so." And as soon as I spoke his name, the Spirit of God come in my heart, filled me with the Spirit of the presence of God. And I actually cried and prayed for that man because God filled me with his love. It was God that was working in me both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And I don't care what situation you find yourself in, even if you don't want to do it, do what God tells you to do, and he will fill you with his Holy Spirit, and he will give you whatever you need to do, whatever it is he's asking you to do. Because we work out our own salvation because it's God that's working in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So when you love somebody, wives, even your husbands, husbands, even your wives. Because sometimes we don't act like we love one another. Are you with me? No, I know. I was married one time. And there were some times we did not. When we got married, I just asked you one simple question. If you're married, have you always, you and your wife, always agreed on everything? Did your wife do something that she didn't want her to do and you got mad? Or did your husband do something you didn't want to do and you were upset? You know, are you listening? Our relationship as a marriage, see, God gave us marriage as a relationship, and you read it in the Bible. So, because our relationship as husband and wife is supposed to, in this world and in our homes and wherever we are, our relationship as husband and wife is supposed to be the relationship exactly like Christ and the body of Christ is with the church, like the church is. We're one. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's the way God wants it to be. That's God's perfect will for our lives. But we can't do that apart from God's help and by the power of the Holy Spirit. So, later on, when I got the chance to go up to Tulsa, Oklahoma, and see that man, he still had an office there. I went up, I think it was the third or fourth floor, wherever it was, I went up, and his secretary was still there in the office, and she told me, she said, "Pastor Cowan, you're not the only one that lost their money." She said, "Almost everybody that got into that deal." She said, "I can tell you about a widow lady right now that took her last $5,000 saving living in a trailer house in Georgia that she gave her money away and she never got it back. And that's just one." And she said, "He's spending, I forget how many years, I think it's 20 or 30, he's spending 20 or whatever years in prison right now." He's in prison. Well, I wasn't proud that he was in prison. I come by to tell him I love him and I forgive him. Not because I did it on my own, but because God filled me with His love. The Bible tells us to love your enemies. Hello? You ever read that in the Bible? Christians? You say, "How in the world can I love my enemies? I can't even love myself sometimes." Are you with me? That's why it's God that works in us, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And getting back to Ephesians, which I've gotten all the way from here, and it doesn't make any difference. I'm doing whatever God told me to do anyway. Where did it say? "Who may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding." This is what I want us to pray. You need to pray this at least every day, if you mean it. Don't go through it because it's a religious thing to do. Are you with me? Just do it. If you remember you're supposed to do it, just do it. And let it come from your heart. Because in this way, the eyes of your understanding, you're getting some understanding from the Spirit of the Lord this morning. Amen? Hopefully. "Being enlightened, that you may know," God wants us to know some things, "what is the hope of His calling." He wants us to know that He is the hope of our calling. Amen? Or His calling. That He's called us. If we responded to His call, we have that blessed hope. Amen? What is that hope? That I'm going to go spend eternity with Him. The hope of His calling. What He wants us to know also, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? He wants to know, believer, how rich you are in Christ, in His glory. There's some things He wants you to know. You can't know it until you get in the Word of God. Amen? And verse 19, we're going to close with this. He also wants you to know, and He wants you to know, what is the exceeding greatness of His power. His power. That's what we're talking about. His power. Not in my power, but in His power. His power towards us who believe. If you believe, if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and you're one of the children of God, you have the greatest power inside of you that you could ever even imagine. You can't even imagine. what He can do through you. Wow. And what He can do in you. Amen? He already has done something great in us when He translated us. Listen, you have been, if you're a Christian, now you get this, the Bible says this, you have been translated from the kingdom and power of darkness, this world system in which you've been born. God has translated you out of that. When you were born again, He's translated you out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. And you're now in the kingdom of God. And you're supposed to be living like that. And I am too. Not just saying you, we, me, we, all of us. According to His power, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places. Oh my goodness. I'm going to stop right there. We'll finish Ephesians chapter 1 one of these days. I was going to give you some passages of Scripture on the Holy Spirit. I hadn't got around to that because I want you to understand, and we'll do this next Sunday, good Lord willing, the creek don't rise and whatever. We'll talk about some of the things that His power has done in you and has given you. We just mentioned those, but we want to mention them in actuality and practicality, so that you can be applying these and we can be applying these in our lives as we go through our daily day-to-day living. Because I want you to know, you, me, we, every Christian, we need His power working in us every day that we live. We can't make it without that. So get in the Word of God. Because we walk by faith and not by sight. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Somebody said, well, I sure wish I had more faith. Well, do you read the Bible? Do you study the Bible? Do you apply the Word of God? That's where you get more faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And not just hearing it preached, but reading it, studying it, applying. Then, where's the spiritual? That's the shield of faith. That quenches all of the fiery darts of the evil one. And then take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's your offensive weapon. And when the enemy comes and demons come and thoughts come in your mind, you don't like to take that sword and jab them in the rear end. Yeah, well, the sword. We don't have a. It didn't say take the sword of the pitchfork of the Spirit. It says take the sword of the Spirit, Brother Jim. I know what you're talking about. Pitchfork has more points, but a pitchfork with a sword you can whack. With a pitchfork, all you can do is just punch. Sometimes we need to whack. Amen. We need a sharp, two-edged sword. Praise God. This is good stuff, folks. Even if I have to say so myself. I've already preached myself happy this morning. Let's stand. Anybody needs to come to the altar for prayer, you want to come at this time, come on. Whatever we need to do, you need to come and join the church. You say, thank God wants you to be here or whatever. Or if you need to... come pray for somebody or whatever. Just come on right now. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank You for this day. Thank You for this time. Thank You, Lord, for letting us hear from You this morning. What a blessing You've been to me. What a blessing You've been to, I guess, every one of us, Lord, if we receive it. Thank You that we have, and thank You for those who have. We receive Your Word. We receive Your Holy Spirit. We trust You, Lord. We thank You for the great and wonderful hope that You've given us. Thank You for Your Spirit who has sealed us until the day of redemption. Thank You for Your Holy Spirit who cares for us and shows us Your love and bears witness with our spirit that we belong to you. Thank you for everything. Thank you for being so good and supplying all of our needs according to your riches and glory through Christ Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Have a wonderful day, everybody. God bless. Come back next Sunday. Bring somebody with you. Have a good week.